For WTOP News, this is The Book Report. I'm Tariq King. The NBA Finals are underway. At last count, approximately 75% of basketball players in the NBA were Black. So, if you've ever wondered how basketball came to be so fundamentally embraced by African-American people and culture, the roots can be traced back to D.C., and the answer can be found in this new book, The Grandfather of Black Basketball, The Life and Times of Dr. E.B. Henderson. It's written by our guest today, the grandson and namesake of the man himself, Edwin Bancroft E.B. Henderson II. Edwin, thank you so much for being on The Book Report today.
Thanks for having me.
Why is your grandfather so essential to the story of basketball becoming so beloved in African-American culture?
The beginning point of anything is important. My grandfather is the man who introduced the sport of basketball when the sport was in its infancy, and then laid the infrastructure so that African-Americans could play and compete in the sport on an equal basis with their white counterparts.
DC figures prominently into your grandfather's story, and by extension, the history of how basketball was introduced culturally to Black people. Tell us a little bit about your grandfather's upbringing in the D.C. area.
My grandfather was born in the Southwest. His mother and his father had both been born into slavery. But his mother taught him to read and write at a very young age. He went to the Washington, D.C. colored schools. And Washington, D.C. was very unique in that it had a colored school system. At one time, it was almost equally funded. But being in Southwest and going to school basically in the shadow of the Capitol, he would spend time in the Library of Congress and in the galleries in the Capitol. He was always a very serious-minded guy. When he went to, my grandfather was always interested in sports, playing sports, and then writing about the sports ever since he was in junior high school, where he would actually write about the games that he participated in for a dollar a word that was printed in the Washington Evening Star. Elm Street High School, coming from a working class background, he met all manner of the Black elite here in Washington, D.C., and that was very helpful to his career.
In 1904, basketball had been introduced at the St. Louis World's Fair, and that was the same year your grandfather graduated from the Harvard program where he learned the game. Tell us about the school and how he got there.
It was called the Dudley Sargent School for Physical Training. While he was in Minor Teachers College, he couldn't afford to go full-time. He had to go 3 summer sessions in order to earn the certification to teach physical education, and was the first African-American male to be certified to teach that subject in the United States.
2 years later, your grandfather formed the ISAA. Tell us what that was.
The ISAA is the first African-American athletic league. It was a model for all of the other African-American athletic leagues after that. In 1912, you have the CID. And it wasn't that he really introduced the sport, more so that he introduced it as a competitive entity, where people played seriously against each other.
In 1912, you have the CIAA, which was the first collegiate athletic association.
And he was there at Howard University when they actually established that in 1912. And he talks about all of these things in his handbooks. The YMCA was basically where the game was held until my grandfather introduced it within his own league. And then the Olympian League in New York City started their league. And then that's when competition came. In St. Louis in 1904, the people that were introducing the sport, there was an Indian girls team. I can't remember the name of the actual tribe.
I wanted to make sure that I touched on that in the early days, according to your book, it was a bit of a hard sell because it was considered a sport that was predominantly played by women.
It was a demonstration sport. In other words, no one had really seen it. It had basically been held close to the chest within the YMCA. And, well, basketball really wasn't all that popular, really, until the late 70s here. But there were a number of leagues which were very short-lived between the invention of the sport and the NBA in 1947-48. the girls were playing, boys were playing, everybody was playing. And he insisted in his physical education and teaching girls as well as boys.
What would he think about all this sudden attention that's going to the WNBA right now? It's almost like a return to the roots of the sport in a way.
You know, I think that he would probably would say it's about time. You know, and one of the things that I want to make note of is that when EB was inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame, it was the same year as Dawn Staley, who just won the NCAA Women's Championship as well. I think her third time.
What do you think your grandfather would say, or what he would think or feel if he walked into an NBA game in 2024?
He'd probably say, my, my, how things have changed. How this is what things have come to. But he would be proud of it as well. What my grandfather did was he moved the game of basketball from a game where that was kept from blacks, pretty much. They went from exclusion to domination of the sport. You know, when the NBA in the 1940s, these many of the leagues which evolved into the NBA, they had a no blacks policy. And then after they were allowed, there was a quota system. In the 60s, you know, there was no more quota. But you had a lot of white spectators that were bad-mouthing basketball as a black sport. And it really wasn't until Magic and Bird that basketball really became popular and profitable. And then, of course, Michael Jordan was soon after that, and he turned basketball commercialism, which became really big after that.
Who is this book for?
I think people that love history and context, particularly anyone that's interested in African-American history from Civil War to civil rights, anyone that's interested in sports history in Washington, D.C., and I think that anyone that's interested in local history or civil rights history would also find this book very interesting because it covers civil rights history from all over the DMV.
It's local history, it's sports history, it's very enlightening, a fast-moving read, and I'm really glad that I got a chance to read and that I got a chance to talk to you. So thank you so much, Edwin, for being on the Book Report today.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
And I thank everyone for listening to this edition of the Book Report. For WTOP News, I'm Tariq King.